The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Simin Tesvav, Dine Kaddish uBaruch Hu, the laws of Kaddish and Baruch Hu. V'tziruf asaron, how one makes up the quorum, the 10 men, for the necessary quorum needed in order to say a davar shebekdusha, a matter of holiness. V'miyatzu mitzasan, if some members of the quorum, of the minyan, left in the middle of saying a davar shebekdusha, what does one do? V'din hashatz, and the laws of the shneach tzibur, the chazan, the leader of the prayers. Sif aleph. Acha yishtabach, after the blessing of Yishtabach, Omer Hashatz Chatzi Kaddish. The Chazan says a half a Kaddish. It means from Yiskada until the Amiram B'Olamavim Ruam Main, that is called half a Kaddish, without the ending part of either Tiskabel or Yehishlama or Yisasholim. In Omer Kaddish, one is not allowed to say Kaddish, Ubaruchu or Baruchu, Ukedusha or Kedusha. Then Kayim Batara, one is not allowed to read the Torah. Ela Basara Anashim Gedolim. Unless you have what's called a minyan, a quorum, which is 10 adult males, Jewish males, assembled together. We'll discuss the details about that later. And that's when you say Dovah Shebikdusha, a matter of holiness, cannot be said except in the presence of a minyan. And therefore, because one is not allowed to say Kaddish without a minyan, and the Kaddish is referring back to the Pesuk of the Zimmer, when one says Kaddish after Yishtabach, that is a Kaddish which is following, it is said because of the Pesuk of the Zimmer that was said before. So if there was no minyan when the congregation said Yishtabach, but the minyan was completed afterwards, after they finished Yishtabach, more people came in, and now there's a minyan. The chazan should not say Kaddish, because not only the Kaddish itself has to be said when there are 10 people, but whatever is causing the Kaddish to be said also must be said in the presence of 10 people with a minyan. And therefore, since no part of Sukkot HaZimra over here was said with a minyan, one cannot say Kaddish. Therefore, what should one do if one is in a shul, a synagogue, is in a place, and they don't have 10 men, you'd like to pray? And you said Sukkot HaZimra, you were hoping that people would come, and people have not yet come. Therefore, Yamtinu Milomer Yishtabach, the congregation should wait, or actually the Chazan really should wait to say Yishtabach, Ad Sheyaveihu Asara, until 10 people gather together. One could wait until close to half an hour, even though one is really in the middle of two blessings. The Baruch Shema Bracha before Pesukei Dezimra, and then you said Pesukei Dezimra, and there's an ending blessing, Yishtabach, which is the close, the second blessing in the set. And really, one should optimally not push off saying that Bracha after he's finished Pesukei Dezimra, but in this case, a little bit stuck, since you're waiting for a minyan, and you can't say Kaddish unless Yishtabach was said with a minyan, so you could wait up to half an hour for a minyan. Then later, more than that, they should not wait. Now, rather, Yishtabach, they should say Yishtabach. Everyone should say Yishtabach, and then they should wait until a minyan comes. When 10 people finally assemble, they should first say some other verses, say another psalm or something, or a few psukim from Pesukei Dezimra, v'acharim, and afterwards, Yemer Hashatz Chatzi Kaddish, because since now there were some verses that were said in the presence of a minyan, in the presence of 10 men, so then the Chazan could say Chatzi Kaddish. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that waiting for Yishtabach should only be done by the Chazan. There's no need for everybody else to wait for Yishtabach, and therefore one should not. Rather, if one is up to Yishtabach, he has said, if one is not the Chazan, and one is a member of the congregation, he has said all the way up to Yishtabach, even if there is not yet a minyan present, he should say Yishtabach himself. You, the congregants, should say Yishtabach yourself, and the Chazan should wait until a minyan assembles. And this is true even if there's not a problem with the minyan. You just see what happens to be finished Pirkei Dezimra earlier, whether it's the weekday, whether it's on Shabbos, one should optimally not separate Yishtabach, the blessing of Yishtabach, from the rest of Pirkei Dezimra, and therefore it's preferable for one who has finished Pirkei Dezimra should say Yishtabach right away, and then wait for the congregation to catch up, for the Chazan to say Yishtabach. He could work in a sefer if you want to read something quietly, as long as one did not utter the words with his lips. It is not an interruption. You could look inside some kind of Torah book while he is waiting. Sif Beis, Gadol, when we say we need 10 men who are Gedolim, 10 adult males, so what is considered an adult? Hainu, she'ovru le'sholesh esrei shana. He has already lived 13 years. V'nichnas l'shnas yedal, and he has entered his 14th year of being alive. What we call, he is 13 already. And we say, what person is 13? That means he has already lived 13 years. V'simchen al-achazokim, we rely on the assumption that the mistoma heavy based tires, they probably already brought two pubic hairs. Because technically speaking, in order for a Jewish boy to be considered an adult, and the same with a girl, they have to reach the age of maturity, which for a boy is bar mitzvah 13, as well as have two pubic hairs. However, there is an assumption that most people, most children who are of age, or most boys who are 13, they have two pubic hairs, and therefore one doesn't have to check for that. One could assume it. This, however, is only when we deal with a din d'rabbanan, something which is only of rabbinic nature, such as the need for 10 people in order to say a davar shebekdusha, which is only of rabbinic origin, and therefore we have the right to assume that since he's already 13, he probably has two hairs. If, however, we would be dealing with some kind of Torah concept, some kind of obligation, minat Torah, then we would not be able to rely on such an assumption. Rather, we would have to physically check to make sure. So the Kitzur gives an example. Okay, going for example, Shnei Elabei Reish Chodesh Nisan. The child was born on Reish Chodesh Nisan, the first day of Nisan. Einai Nasa Gadol, he does not become an adult at Reish Chodesh Nisan until Reish Chodesh Nisan on his 13th birthday. However, he is careful to tell us, Dehainu, this is, means B'tchim Las Hamayla, the beginning of the night, right after nightfall, after three stars have come out, we call Tesa Kechavin, after nightfall, the beginning of the night, Reish Chodesh Nisan, of Reish Chodesh Nisan, L'acha Yugim Oshanim, after he has passed his 13th year, which means on his birthday, his 13th birthday, as soon as Reish Chodesh Nisan comes, Nasa Gadol becomes an adult, even though he may have been born at the very end of Reish Chodesh Nisan. He may have been born in the late afternoon on Reish Chodesh Nisan. It doesn't make a difference. He becomes an adult right away at the beginning of the night, at the onset of his 13th birthday. Misha Ne'or B'Chodesh Adar, a person was born in the month of Adar, Kishahoysa Shana Pshuta, when it was a simple year. There was only one Adar, as we know in the Jewish calendar, because it is a lunar calendar, but it has to be so the seasons would not end up matching up with the months if we would not compensate, because a lunar year is only 354 days, whereas a solar year is 365 days, and if we would allow the lunar calendar to just run and run and run, then the seasons would be out of sync with the months. And the Torah mandates that we have to compensate to make sure that the seasons and the months are in sync. Right, the holiday of Pesach has to fall in the spring. And therefore, the Torah tells us that we have to, mandates that we have to make a leap year every so often to make a 13th month in the year, so we should be able to keep the seasons in sync with the months. That 13th month is what we call Adar Sheni, it's a second Adar. And in leap year, there are two Adars. So what happens if a child is born in a year that was not a leap year? It was a Shana Peshuta, a simple year, where there was only one Adar. Okay, Shanasa Gadol, and when he became an adult, meaning his 13th birthday, Hashana Muberes, that year was a leap year, and there were two Adars. So the question is, which Adar does he become Bar Mitzvah in? The answer is, Einai Nasa Gadol at Adar Sheni does not become an adult. He does not become Bar Mitzvah until Adar Sheni, the second Adar. We say that the second Adar is the real month of Adar, and the first one is the extra added month says birthday is in Adar, and the second Adar is the quote-unquote real one, and therefore his bar mitzvah is not until the second Adar. Aval, however, if this child was born in a leap year, but Adar Rishon in the first Adar, Nasa Gadol Gam came by Adar Rishon, then he will also become an adult. He will become bar mitzvah in Adar Rishon, meaning if his 13th birthday is during a year which is also a leap year, then he will become an adult in Adar Rishon because he was born in an Adar Rishon, and therefore he will become a bar mitzvah in Adar Rishon in the first Adar. Vim kishenelad haisa shanu beres, if when he was born there were two Adars, ukishenasa gado, and when it was a leap year there were two Adars, ukishenasa gado, when he became an adult, hushana pshuta, it is a simple year, a non-leap year, and there's only one Adar. Bein shenelad Adar Rishon, bein Adar Sheni, whether this child was born in the year of his birth, when there were two Adars, in the first or the second Adar, it doesn't make a difference. Nasa gadol b'yom zeh b'adar shalata, he becomes an adult of bar mitzvah on that date. In the current Adar, there's only one Adar this year, it's a Shana Pshuta, the year of his 13th birthday, and therefore on that date, in Adar, he becomes a bar mitzvah, irregardless of whether he was born in an Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni, in the first or second Adar. V'nimsen, it comes out, it's found, kilo pa'amim, that there are times that Nash and Neilad kaidem l'chaveiro, a child that was born before his friend, Yisacher Yoser, Nias Gadol Mechaveiro, Shneon Acharav, his bar mitzvah will be delayed, he will become an adult after his friend that was born after him. Again, for example, Shemuel Dubishanim Uberes, there are two children that were born in a leap year. Zeh Bechof Adar Rishon, first child was born on the 20th day of the first Adar. Zeh Beyudla Adar Sheni, and the second child was born about 20 days later on the 10th day of the second Adar. Vashana Sheinasim Gedoyla Mishanim Pshutan, and the year they become a bar mitzvah in a very simple year, non-leap year, and there's only one Adar. It comes out that the child who was born second in the second month of Adar, on the 10th, will be bar mitzvah on the 10th day of the current year, of the current Adar, which is earlier than his friend, who will be bar mitzvah only on the 20th day of Adar, despite the fact that his friend was born 20 days later. Now, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch does not discuss some other possible issues that could come up. They are discussed in the Paiskim. There are two or three days in the calendar that only occur during some years. For example, there are 2 months in the calendar, which are Cheshvan and Kislev. They are sometimes 29-day months, and sometimes 30-day months, depending on the calendar. So if a boy was born on the 30th day of either of those months, let's say the 30th day of Kislev, and the year of his bar mitzvah, there is a 30th day of Kislev, there's no problem, he becomes bar mitzvah then. However, if the year of his bar mitzvah, there is no 30th day of Kislev, since the 30th day of Kislev is Rosh Chodesh, it's the first day of Rosh Chodesh Teves, so the year of his bar mitzvah, he will become bar mitzvah on the first day of Teves, which is also Rosh Chodesh Teves. We say that he was born on Rosh Chodesh Teves, we don't look at the fact that his birthday was in Kislev. So too, if a boy was born on Rosh Chodesh Teves, and that year there was only one day of Rosh Chodesh Teves, meaning that year the Kislev was only 29 days, and he was born on Rosh Chodesh Teves, so the Mishnah Berurah bring that if the year is bar mitzvah, there are 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Teves, there is a 30th day of Kislev, as well as a first day of Teves, his bar mitzvah is the first day of Rosh Chodesh, not the second day of Rosh Chodesh. However, this is subject to a dispute. One should consult a rabbinic authority regarding this. There's a similar issue regarding the 30th day of Adar. In a leap year where there are two Adars, so then the first Adar has 30 days, whereas the second Adar has only 29 days. So if a boy was born on the 30th day of Adar Rishon, the 30th day of the first Adar during a leap year, and the year of his bar mitzvah, it's not a leap year, and therefore there is no 30th day of Adar. Since there is only one Adar, there are only 29 days of that Adar. So the question is, does he become bar mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is Aleph Adar, the first day of Adar, or does he become bar mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Then maybe we should say that the 30th day of Adar, which doesn't exist this year, but is really the equivalent of the first day of Nisan, that also is a dispute among the Paiskim. And one should again consult his halachic authority to determine what should be done in such a situation. Sif Gimel. Srichinli Zahir. One must be careful. A person should not count the men by head. You should not take a head count. Lay by a mish minion to know if there is a quorum, if there is a minion. Ki also limes as Yisrael, gogolaisem, there is a prohibition against counting Jews by their heads. Not just head, you can't count person, people. Field of our mitzvah, even if it's a mitzvah purpose, one is not allowed to count them. It says in the verse in Shmuel, by Yeshama Shol, Esa'am, Shol gathered. The nation is gathering them for war, and he wanted to know how many members he had in his army. He counted them using sheep, that each member of the army gave a sheep, and he counted the sheep, rather than counting the people. And the Talmud learns from here that one is forbidden to count Jews. Therefore, the custom has become to count the people of the minion by saying the words of the verse, Hashia Samecha, Uvareches Nachal Osecha, Re'im V'nasim Anhoilam, Shiyesh Bay Asar Tevez, that verse has 10 words, and therefore, if you just, by looking at each person, you say Hashia Samecha, etc., you can determine there's a minion. If you are enough people to make up all the words in that verse, you know there's a minion. If not, there isn't, which is preferable, better than counting them, which is, as we said, a prohibition. It is necessary that all 10 members of the minion, of the quorum, be in one place. They have to be in one area. The shati man, that includes the shliach tzibur, includes the chazan. If some of the people are in one room, and some of the people are in a different room, even if the two rooms connect, have a connecting door, they do not connect one with these with those to join to become a minion. But even though the door is open between them, still they do not connect. Even if a majority of the quorum, 6 people, and even if 9 people are in the synagogue, and the minority, even if it's only one person, is, let's say, for example, Ba'azar is in the courtyard, that's in front of the synagogue, and they are not dragged after the majority, meaning they do not follow the majority. We don't consider them as if they are part of the group of the majority. And it's time for them to connect together with the majority. And you do not have a minion. And you cannot say Kaddish or Kedusha or all of those things, the Dvarim Shem B'Kedusha, that require a minion. One cannot say them because one does not right now have a minion. Even if those people are standing on the threshold of the room, in the doorway, min ha'agaf v'lachutz, from the door jam and the outside, which means, what is the agaf? Tahainu, this means to say, when the door would be closed, the place that this person is standing would be outside the closed door. If you would close the door, this person who's standing in the doorway would be outside the room. Even though right now the door is open, the doorway is treated as if it's at the spot where this person is standing is treated as if he's outside, and there is no minion. And therefore, one should make sure that all the people are together. Now, there is an opinion brought down in the Mishnah Berurah that as long as the two groups of people can see each other, like some of the people in this group can see some of the people in the other group, then they are combined. And there are certain Paiskim who do follow such an opinion. Certainly, in an optimum setting, optimally, one should not rely on such a thing, and one should make sure that all 10 men are together in the same room. Now, says the Kitzur, however, all of this is an Inyan Sirif La'asar, as far as connecting, combining all the members to be considered 10 men in one area, and you should be able to say Adavish B'Kedusha. If there were already 10 people, and they are saying Kaddish, Baruch Hu, or Kedusha, as I then, whoever hears their voice, is able to answer with them and say, respond, Amen, or Amen Yehoshua Rabbah, or Baruch Hu, or Kedusha, even though you're not in the same room with the minion. There are many houses that interpolate that. Make a separation between you and the minion. It's still okay. So you could be in your house half a block down from the synagogue. If you hear in the synagogue that they're saying Kaddish or Kedusha, you can answer Amen with them, and Yeshmei Rabbah, etc. because there is a minyan in the place that Kaddish is being said. The Talmud teaches us that even a barrier of iron, of metal, does not make a break, does not interrupt between the Jews and their Father in heaven, and therefore, as long as you have the requisite 10 people to say Kaddish, the fact that you personally are not together with them is not a problem, and you're allowed to respond. However, said questions the kitzur of avad, this is provided shenleite hisham tsaya, there cannot be excrement intervening between you and the minion or anything else which is dirty, that one would not be able to say a blessing in its presence. There may not be either a non-Jew or an idol, and they cannot be intervening between the person who would like to respond and the minion. This, however, is subject to a disagreement. There are those who disagree with this opinion, and they say that even though there is an interruption, something in the middle, such as tzaya or avodah zarah, still one is allowed to answer. Mr. Ruhr does bring down on both opinions, and he personally suggests, and he brings from the Chayei Adam, who suggests that as long as one is not saying Hashem's name, one can answer in such a situation. But if it requires saying Hashem's name, such as to say Baruch Hu Hashem HaMavaruch, or Baruch Hashem HaMavaruch Leolam Vayed, rather, to respond to Baruch Hu, maybe one should not say it. She should be strict like the opinions that one is not allowed to answer if these things are intervening. And this comes up as a modern-day application if one is hearing a blessing said over some kind of satellite connection or over the phone, and between you and the place that they're saying the blessing, there's almost certainly a non-Jew or a excrement or some idol or the like. Is one permitted to answer? Is one not permitted to answer? And that is a discussion among the modern-day Paiskim. Once you consult the rabbinic authority, if such a situation comes up. A person has to be very careful to listen to the words that the chazan is saying when he says Kaddish, and to respond afterwards with the proper intent to understand what is being said and to mean the proper thoughts and one is responding Amen. And certainly that phrase of the person has to have a lot of kavana, a lot of thought and proper intent. Anybody who answers Amen Yehesh Mirabba with all of his strength, the Kavanasim, with all of his intent, with all of his mind, they rip up a bad decree that was set against him even for 70 years. Still, such a decree can be ripped up by virtue of saying Amen Yehesh Mirabba with the proper intent. The Yish Lanis, I said, call Ram, and a person should answer it in a loud voice. That with this loud voice, Shavu Kol Mekatrigim, he breaks all the prosecutors and Mevatel Kol Gzeiros Kashrus, and he nullifies all the bad decrees, the harsh decrees that may have been against him. When we call Malkim, still, even though we just mentioned that it's preferable to say it in a loud voice, Layitain Kolis Gedol, as a person should not give, he should not express himself in extraordinarily, extremely loud voice. Shalayis Laytitzul Alav Niyodam, that others should not make fun of him. And he will cause them to sin by making fun of him. Now, one should be pointed out that Amen Yehesh Merabba is really two different phrases. The word Amen is referring back to the first part, the first words in Kaddish. The one is acknowledging that he wishes, acknowledging that he also is praying for what was being said in the beginning of Kaddish, that the name of Hashem should be exalted and praised, etc. And then there's a new phrase which starts on Yehesh Mirabba, that his great name should be blessed forever and ever, and one should therefore pause between the word Amen and the word Yehesh Mirabba, because there is a new phrase. Continues the Kitzur, Aymrim Amen Yehesh Mirabba v'chulu im tevis yisparach. One should say Yehesh Mirabba v'varach, that his great name should be blessed l'olam forever and ever, yisparach, he should be blessed. Say that word also. And afterwards, Yishma min Hashat, you should hear the Chazan say the word Yisparach. V'yemer Amen, you should say Amen after the word Yisparach. However, the Ramah points out that our custom is not to say Amen after the word Yisparach. And the Mishnah Berurah brings opinions that one should not say the word Yisparach. One should end after the word Alnaya and not say the word Yisparach. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah says that one should only say the word Yisparach in a place where he's allowed to interrupt. But in a place he's not allowed to interrupt, he should not say the word Yisparach. Whereas clearly the opinion of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and other Paiskim is that the word Yisparach is part of the Yesh Mei Rabba phrase, and one can say that any time when it's answering Kaddish, and is allowed to say Yesh Mei Rabba, you should also say Yisparach. Continues the Kitzur, Sif Vav. Yesh Amid are those who say, She'ein Tzrichin Lamed B'Kaddish, one does not have to stand when he hears Kaddish. Ach, rather, or but, Kol Kaddish, any Kaddish, a Tafsei V'Amida, that grabs you, meaning that you hear the Kaddish while you are standing, going, for example, Achar Halo, after saying Halo, when a person is obligated to stand for Halo, and then they say Kaddish afterwards, so you're already standing for Halo, then you have to stand for Kaddish. So Yesh Lamed Oid, but you should continue standing for it, for Kaddish, Am Achar Amin Yesh Rabba, until after the main part of Kaddish, which is after the phrase in Hishmei Rabba. The Mishnah Berurah does quote that there are those who say that one should not sit until after the words Dami Rambi Olamavi Imru Amen, until after the entire Chati Kaddish, entire half Kaddish. The Yeshem are those who say, Sheyesh Lamay Tamin Lakash, a person should always stand for Kaddish. Or Shai Dovah Shabikdusha, or for any other Dovah Shabikdusha, such as Baruch Hu or Kedusha. The Yeshem Lomay Bekava Chaymer, we should learn a Kava Chaymer. Me Eglon Melech Mayav, from Eglon, who was the king of Mayav, who is a non-Jewish king, mentioned in Tanakh. The Chsiv, it says the verse in the Sefer of Shoftim, Ehud Boyim of Ehud, who was one of the Shoftim, one of the judges of the Yidden, of Klal Yisrael, the Jews, during the Shoftim period, the period that the Yidden were living in Eretz Yisrael before they had the Beis HaMikdash. Ehud Boyelot came to him, to Eglon, the king of Moab, the Gomer, and Ehud said, I have the word of Hashem, which is sent to you. And Eglon got up from his throne. So we should make the following, we should say the following. What we find by Eglon, the king of Moab, he was a non-Jew, yet come with Hashem, he stood up for the word of Hashem, Kolshkein, all the more so, certainly, we, his nation, should stand up for the word of Hashem, for Davar Shebikdusha, v'chein Yesh Lachmir, so one should be strict, and one should make sure to stand for Davar Shebikdusha, and that is certainly the custom among Ashkenazim, that we stand for Davar Shebikdusha. Now, even if you were sitting when they start saying Davar Shebikdusha, one should stand for Kaddish, at least until after Amen, as we said from the Mishnah Berurah, or according to the Kitzur, at least till after Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba. If one would like to see more information about the topics covered in this segment, one can look on the resource page at kitzur365.org.